World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. Good Tuesday morning, the 20th of, guys, it's February 20th? February 20th. Amazing how these things happen. My mom and dad's anniversary, February 20th. My mom is a Valentine baby, I think I've told you that. And their, the wedding anniversary was February 20th. So they were married February 20th, 1946, I believe. Wow. Well, happy anniversary, mom and dad. I know you're up there looking down on us. At least that's what they teach us. I know you're up there, Mom. I know you are, Dad. I know you're looking down on us. That's what I've been taught anyway. Good folks. Think about them often. You know, it's really kind of funny. My mom is really influential in my life, probably more than my dad worked a lot. Coached us in Little League Baseball, but he worked a lot. I never really, my whole life, ever really had a deep philosophical conversation with my dad. And I often think back. What was he thinking inside? Well, what was my dad thinking inside? Never really, he didn't keep it from us. He just, I think, you know, he had to be something deeper than I understand, or I'm carrying his genes, right? Some of the stuff that you see on this show has to be part from my dad. Interesting to go back and kind of study that kind of stuff. So, hey, welcome to us. We're having some technical issues today. So if you're out there and you're trying to get in the queue, and it's just spinning and spinning. Just bear with us. Jared has to open that door and let you in. And he's been messing on some other things. So, be patient. We have room for, I've got room for probably 10, 11 more of you out there. Those things are probably spinning and Jared will get to you. Then he'll get you in. And I'm dressed in my war gear today for a purpose. I got some good stuff we're going to talk about, but I'm dressed in my war gear because, I want to, before we get going here too deep, I want to give a fair warning to the devil and his minions. Listen, the stuff you do it's aggravating. But if you think the stuff that you're doing, the emails that you send, the Facebook posts, if you think that kind of stuff is going to deter me, listen, dude, you're messing with the wrong kind of Christian. I ain't that kind of guy. I'm not going to bend over and whine and moan and complain and gripe and tell you how much Jesus loves you. I ain't going to do that. And I want you to know this, that the more you do it, the more inspired I become. I was talking to a buddy of mine last night, same thing's going on with him. You know what you guys are? You guys are just little, you're gnats on my butt. You're just gnats on my butt. Do they irritate? Yeah, they do. Do I get tired of swatting them? Yeah, I get tired of swatting them. But it ain't going to deter me. Like I'm out playing in the yard with my kids and the mosquitoes are biting me. I get it. Keep doing this. Yeah, they're an irritation to me. But I tell you this, I'm proudly wearing this shirt. I'm intolerant. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm intolerant. I got my camo hat on, and I'm going to continue to push back against the forces of darkness. And as those dark forces continue to attack, I'm telling you this, I'm working and I'm praying against you, okay? You better understand that. Nothing personal, although you're making it personal. I'm going to show you in the scriptures today why I'm thinking I'm able to get away, why from a biblical standpoint, why I'm able to do that. I want to say something to the people who are watching. I want to say something to some of you who are, I heard from a reverend yesterday. Can you believe that? Hey, guys, I'm a reverend. Do you ever hear me ever call myself reverend? Ever? So as soon as I saw the email and it said reverend, I thought, oh, all right, I get it. Probably got a collar he wears. Reverend. And the fact that you're reverend as we're finding out, you can get a reverend or ordination on the internet for $10, reverend. I just want to throw that one out there. Guys, understand this. The battle that we're fighting, intolerance, we'll talk about it this morning. The battle we're fighting is at its very core an attempt by the enemy to silence the voice of God. That's really what's going on. Have you ever thought about this? That political correctness, politically correct words. I don't like the way Trump acts. I don't like what Trump says. I don't like the way he tweets. Do you understand that all of this politically correct language has done nothing more than control what we think, how we express it, and ultimately designed to silence us? Let's take intolerance. Let's take the homo movement. I don't know how many of you are watching this. I got banned on Facebook. I got banned on Facebook because somebody probably posted, well, I know what they did. Somebody got in and reposted something, and I got banned for 3 days from being able to comment on Facebook. It's trying to get my mind right. It's spanking me over something that was posted 7 years ago. Somebody reposted it and called daddy at Facebook, and they banned me. So those of you who watch it over streaming video, that probably can't see that. But the point I'm getting at, political correctness is nothing more than the left, the God-hating left, doing everything they can to control not only what you say, but what you think. They have no right. It is a tremendous violation of free speech to silence my mouth from what my mind wants to say. That's at its very root, it is unbelievably evil. And not only are they telling me that I cannot say what I think, they're trying to change what I think. Because they're trying to change what I think, I think there's something wrong with, can I say this? Black men, white men, who don't marry the parent, the father, don't marry the wife of their children. I think there's something wrong with that. But I'm not allowed to say that. Why am I not allowed to say that? Because somebody somewhere said, you're not allowed to say that. And so now you walk into the church and you can get a conversation going with somebody over homosexuality, and they're going to say to you, well, coach, you can't say that. Wow, what the hell? What do you mean I can't say that? I think it and I say it. And as soon as I allow you to control what I say, you soon control what I think. Does anybody see how this game's played? Does anybody understand it? And we are at the point in America today where Christian people will not open their mouth and speak what God speaks. We will not speak what God speaks because somebody told us that's not nice. You shouldn't talk that way. And so ultimately, the design is to silence not only your voice, but the voice of God through you. Jesus, Almighty God, Yeshua, said homosexuality was an abomination. Hey, dudes. Hey, Jared. How about Webster's 1828 on that one, all right? That's Webster 1828, that one. So the scripture said that it is an abomination, an abominable. It's an abomination. That's worse than just a sin, I think. That's an abomination. And now, no words found for it. Put in abominable. That doesn't even make sense, Jared. It's got to be in there. Abomination. There it is. An abomination. Extreme hate. Homosexuality is an abomination. And what does Jesus say? Extreme hatred. Detestation. The object of detestation. A common significance. Look at that. A common signification in Scripture. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. What's the abomination? An extreme hatred and detest. It's not just something that makes him swat. It's not just something that makes him scratch a little bit. No, no, no. It's deeper than that, see. It's an extreme hatred indeed. God feels that way. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry he does.
Amen.
Sorry he does. Sorry what you, I'm sorry what your pastor told you, or your Sunday school teacher, or your grandma who loves your homosexual cousin. I'm sorry. Grandma may love him, but the Lord says it's an abomination. Are we to love it? Well, no, we don't have to love it. We just have to tolerate. We just tolerate it. And then the next thing you know, we tolerate it. And then you're not allowed to say anything about it. Can't speak against it. Jared, we need to go back and we get a chance. I didn't get finished reading down that whole thing. Because, guys, I'm repeating the words of the Lord. Not my words. This isn't what I think. These are the words of the Lord. Hence, defilement. I'm in three, Webster's Dictionary. Hence, defilement, pollution in a physical sense, or evil doctrines and practices, which are moral defilements.
Wow.
Idols, idolatry, are called abominations. The Jews were an abomination to the Egyptians. And the sacred animals to the Egyptians were all an abomination to the Jews. What's that? Hatred, detestable. The Roman army is called the abomination of desolation. In short, whatever is an object of extreme hatred is called an abomination. Somebody jump in here real quick. I know somebody's got something to add.
Hey, Coach. Well, speaking of intolerance, it's really important for us to get away from just the different ideas that the words and the connotations that they've been painted as, just because they are devices that are intended to steer the way that we think, steer the way that we interact. And, you know, if we get back to Scripture and we get back to the Bible, we'll understand that God's holiness, God's perfection, can't tolerate sin. In fact, there wasn't a way to make it happen apart from the cross. God's holiness and intolerance of sin is so profound, and his love is so great, that it required sending his own son to the cross in order to redeem us so that we could enter his presence.
He hated it that much, didn't he? He wasn't tolerant. He didn't tolerate. Hey, Jared, let's go back to Webster's, and let's look up tolerate.
Well, let's in fact, Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden because they did sin. And that was a place of perfection.
And God didn't show much. God didn't show much tolerance for that, did he?
No.
No, he didn't. When they did that, he didn't tolerate. He booted them out. So to tolerate. Now listen, these words. Now these words have meaning. To suffer. I'm letting that sink deep down in. To suffer. So the left wants me to tolerate them. What does it mean to do? Left wants me to suffer. To suffer, to be or to be done without prohibition or hindrance, to allow or permit negatively by not preventing, not to restrain, as to tolerate opinions or practices. The Protestant religion is tolerated in France. In the Roman Catholic in Great Britain, crying should not be tolerated in children. The law of love, look at this. The law of love tolerates no vice and patronizes every virtue. What does? The law of love. This is 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And so, patronize. That's right. Make special. Patronize. What's it mean there, Jared? Patronize. To support, to countenance, to defend as a patron is a client. To favor, to lend aid to, promote as an undertaking. To maintain, to defend, to support. This idea has only been patronized by two states only. So not only are we, it is negative, brother. You always saw patron. Oh, no. To patronize is I support you. Right? Okay, well, that's good, except let's go to Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Is anybody out there today? Yeah, I guess now we're up to about 15. I don't even, are we streaming on Facebook? They probably wouldn't let us get on there, would they, Jared? Huh? They wouldn't let us. Can you believe those guys? Huh? Can you believe them scumbags? Who are those people? See, it's more tyrannical than you even understand. They don't like what I say, so they're not going to let me say it. Do you see this? They don't like what I say, so they're not going to let me say it. Well, I don't like what they do, but I can't do anything about it. They get to do it. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, see, they preach that they want intolerance, but they offer none.
They want us to patronize them. It's not intolerance. It's not tolerance. It's to patronize, to support them. You have to do that. Wait a minute. No. You have to bow to them. You have to bow down to them.
Well,
I got a dollar.
Like, it's like that campaign they have says there's no place for hate. Against them. But they got all kinds of room for hate if you're, you know, if you stand in opposition to them. So,
Chad, something else we better ask ourselves. Does the Lord say it's okay to hate? If the Lord tells us to hate some things, then what?
He gives you a green light on some of those things.
Why would we let the sodomites tell us what we're allowed to hate and not hate? What's that all about? David Arthur says we are streaming on YouTube. Thanks, David. The Facebook, we're a no-go on Facebook. Okay, so I didn't wake up feeling nice, okay? I didn't wake up feeling nice. I didn't. I just want all of you to think about this. You want to get a chuckle? Go to the Facebook. I won't be there today. Go to YouTube. And check the comments that people are making on YouTube. Not that I care. I understand. I don't care. Why are the trolls attacking us? Why are the trolls doing it? Why are they out after? I'm in Ephesians 5. Is that where we are? Is Joe with us today? Yeah, no, I haven't heard from the Silver Man for a while. Maybe I can catch my breath. Let the Silver Man. I got some stuff to show you. Hang in there with me.
I'm here today.
Okay, Joe. I gotta show you guys this. I'm gonna read about 12 or 13 verses of this, Joe. Ephesians 5. Okay? Now guys, think about political correctness, tolerate, whatever word you want to, Jesus loves everyone. Think about all this stuff now, as now Paul's laying out to us what a follower of God does. Okay? Here's what a follower of God does. Go ahead, Joe, and I'll try not to interrupt, although I probably will.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ.
Stop. Okay, he's going to show us love now. Paul said, be followers of Christ and walk in love. Now watch how he unveils love to us. Go ahead, Joe.
As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For ye know that...
Joe, I'm sorry. Here comes the love of God. Here comes the love of Jesus. Keep going, Joe. Verse 5.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
A lot of love there. Keep going.
Let no man deceive you with vain words.
Joe, stop a minute. Hey guys, that's how they deceive us. They use words to deceive us. They change the words and they change the world. A gay goes from being happy to being homo, right? Tolerance becomes oppression. They change the words. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words. Go, Joe.
For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Mm.
But be not ye therefore partakers with them.
Hang on.
For ye were sometimes.
Hang on, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. Hang on. Hang on. What was that word, Jared? What was that word? Huh? Patronize. Isn't that what it says? To favor, to lend aid, to order, promote as an undertaking, patronize. Okay, go back to Ephesians, Jared. Would it be safe for us to say, be not ye therefore patronizers with them? Don't patronize. Don't support what they do. Yes or no? Hey, is somebody think I'm adding to or pulling out of the word? I don't think I am. Go ahead, Joe. Verse 8.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have
here
no
it
fellowship.
Is, Joe. Hey, Joe, here's your toleration. Here's your toleration, boys and girls.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Oh, don't ordain them. Invite him into your church. Put him on the worship team. Let him be director of music. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're now supposed. You want to start a fight? You get in an argument with a millennial over homosexual rights. Christian millennial. Getting that fight, right? Hey, Joe, have nothing to do. Have nothing to do with it. Have no fellowship. How much fellowship? None. Don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I say, well, coach, that's hateful. No, no. They're hateful because they're trying to make me tolerate something that I don't want to tolerate. And they're trying to keep me from speaking against something that I think is evil. I feel in my heart the desire to speak on behalf of the Lord, and they're trying to tell me I can't do it. Who's the intolerant one? Who is the bully? Who's the real bigot in this situation? When the Lord, right there, through Paul, said, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Hey, Jared, I hate to do this to you. Reprove. What's old Mr. Webster say about reprove? Oh, Mr. Webster could never define what's going on between your heart and mine. Reprove. Reprove. Look at the scriptures. To blame, to censure, to charge with a fault to the face, to chide, to reprehend, to say to their face, that is, you are being reproved, to blame for, with, of, as, to reprove one of laziness, to convince of a fault or to make it obvious, to refute, to disprove, to excite a sense of guilt, the heart of conscience reproves us. That to manifest silent disappropriation of the blame. The vicious cannot bear the presence of good, whose very looks reprove them, and whose life is a severe, though silent, admonition. There it is. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, here it is. I'm ready. Number one, I'm going to bring this to the table, and then I'm going to pause, and I'm going to let you help me out here, okay? Number one, somebody tell me one good fruit. I don't care if it's a grape. I don't care if it's the smallest little berry, a little blueberry. Give me one good fruit of homosexuality. I'm waiting.
You're going to wait a while.
According to one school counselor out in California, it is God's solution to overpopulation.
All those who hate me, love death. Love death. Okay, give me, how about this one? Give me one good fruit of transgenderism. Give me one good fruit. You don't have to. I get it.
I don't know, but why do we call them fruity?
Lindo, you're going to get banned. You keep that up. You'll be banned because you're not allowed to say that. Don't miss what I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make. If they take from you, if they get you to where you cannot speak your conscience, that's tyranny. I'm allowed to say whatever I think. You may not agree with it. It may sound harsh, but I have the right to say it. And you know what our problem is? Most of us have stopped saying it. Why? Because they told us to tolerate. We have to tolerate that. And what do we find out tolerate means? Patronize, support.
Hey, Coach.
When the Lord said, have no, don't support in any way the unfruitful works of the dark. Yeah, Jared, I'm just inspecting fruit. Go, Jared.
I'll just take, I take it one step further in my own brain is, you know what? I don't, you know, no, I don't believe in free speech for homos. No. I don't want to tolerate. I would love to tyrannize, tyrannically control a homosexual lobby speech and silence it. So I'm just going to play the same game they're playing on the opposite end.
That's right. I said this to my wife last night because I went to bed a little frustrated. And as I was getting in bed, I just kind of last minute before sleep, a pillow talk. You guys know how that one is. I said, you know what? I said, we've almost lost this homosexual battle. We've almost lost it. And I said, you know why that is? Because we cannot impress in the minds of people the behavior. If we were to witness in person that vile behavior, it would turn our stomach. But they've done a great job, see, just like in abortion. They said abortion is about a woman's right to choose. No, it isn't. They've changed the measuring stick on it. Abortion is not about a woman's right to choose. Abortion is about a child's right to live. But they've moved the stick. And so in the being savaged by the sodomite agenda is what? It's just love. They just love. They just love. But we saw from Claw yesterday that they don't just love. Now, Jared, it doesn't affect you. Yeah, it does. You're on a school board. Hey, grandparents and parents and grandparents, they're teaching it to your kids. Something that the Lord said have nothing to do with it. Reprove it. We didn't finish that verse. I don't think we did. Jared, can you go back to Ephesians real quick? I'm sorry, Joe. Didn't mean to walk on you. I got to finish this. Look at this. Hey, guys, think about your public schools. Verse 12. Highlight that one for me, Jared. I want everybody to see this one. Verse 12. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Are they doing that in your public schools? Are they teaching your kindergartens things that will be ashamed of to even speak about? Yeah, they are. Yeah. Why? Because they've changed the entire game. And now we, God-fearing Christians, Tim Tebow, Coach Dave, we are the weird ones. We are the haters, and everybody else is the lovers. They flipped it on its ear.
Well, Coach.
Anybody getting it with me? Go ahead, Jared.
Well, here's the argument to a millennial who is pro-homosexual. You say, shut up. I don't want to talk about butt sex. All right? Why are you so disgusting? Right? That's what you say to them. You say, why are you so disgusting? You want to talk about butt sex. We're talking about homosexual. No, we're talking about butt sex, and you're disgusting. That's it.
Call it what it is. That's it, Jared. Nail it for what it is. It's going to make people around you uncomfortable. You know what I say to them? I ask them this. Why is it when I walk out of the restaurant at Wendy's, it says, make sure I wash my hands before going back to work? Why is that? I go to the restroom and I don't do anything except I don't touch anybody else. But when I get done doing my business, they say, make sure you wash your hands. And then they say, it's a law. You got to wash your hands before you come back to work. A law. So now it's a law. Well, I say, why? Why is there a law against that? Well, because it's dirty down there. What? Yeah, it's dirty down there. You're not allowed to say that. But are you guys following me? You're not allowed to say something that is obviously true. And the signs of it are everywhere we look. And it's showing their own words are condemning them. And we're not allowed to use those very words as an example. As an example. We're not allowed to do it. Jared's right. Identify the behavior. And then you identify the behavior, and we've been brainwashed into thinking, well, they were born that way. Oh, I'm going to get off of this here in a second. David Arthur.
Make
David,
it personal.
Go ahead. David says people need to be re-horrified and re-terrified to the LGBT behavior as they were 40 years ago. That's right. Same thing with abortion. We need to be horrified by it. Same thing, dare I say, with fornication. We ought to be horrified by that. We're not anymore. We're not. David Arthur has gone from death into life. He's going from having been a practicing homosexual, messing with that area and another man where you got to wash your hands. Sorry, David, I'm trying to make it vivid here. You got to wash your hands when you're done. Man, he went from doing that to somebody who now isn't welcome in the church to talk about that, which he was delivered from. He's not allowed to come to church to talk about it. But every kid in that church goes to school and hears about it. But David's not allowed to come and say, that's not true. That's a lie. That's not true. Fornication is incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. Also, the criminal conversations. How about that? The criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Fornication was merely speaking to the opposite sex in a lewd man. Is that unbelievable? Adultery, incest, idolatry, a forsaking of the true God, and the worshiping of idols. There it is. Jared, you're going to say something else. I got to get off this because, boy, oh boy, they'll all be emailing me today. They'll all be emailing me. Because you know why? I've exposed the unfruitful works of darkness. And I'm trying to get others who are like-minded folks to agree with me and understand what's going on.
Amen.
Yep. And we're not allowed to say anything about it, right? You have to start saying it. We have to start saying it! Can't look the other way. It's invading our living room. It's invading our kindergartens. At what point are we going to stand up and say no? Are we going to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them? At what point are we going to do that? And those things that are not even to be spoken of in private. My goodness, don't even mention it! And we take it. Is anybody out there hearing me? And we're taking it in and we're training and indoctrinating our kids in it. We have to start saying. Oh boy. Somebody jump in. I know somebody's got Kevin. Maybe guys can't get in here today because now I'm hearing from Kevin Van Store. He says, yeah, Coach, I can't get in the queue.
No, that's my fault.
Red button on the website, Jared. Now they're probably blocking us there.
Let me take a look here. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think it's challenging to have these sorts of conversations, but they have to happen because there are many different balancing acts. And one of the things you notice is that you get a standard kind of garden variety comment that if you say anything against homosexuality, then you're insecure in your sexuality and you're probably a closet homosexual. And, you know, obviously this doesn't hold up to a standard because, you know, if you're against murder, does that mean that you're a closeted murderer and everything else like that? Freud might say yes, but generally speaking, the own internal arguments of these various worldviews are inconsistent. You know, from an evolutionary perspective, generally speaking, if you believe that, then how can you believe that there is something innate and genetic about homosexuality? Because wouldn't it have been natural selected out over the course of a billion years? I mean, that's, you know,
yes.
we're talking right. Hypotheticals here. So the idea is, there is no sort of broad effort to consistency overall at an argument. It's all surface level. It's all personal attacks and everything else. And it's very challenging. But there are people who are, dare I say, living that lifestyle who are captivated by this. And they will still be set free and have profound testimonies for Christ. And at Times Square Church in New York, at the 6 p.m. service, which is evangelistic, there are often testimonies of people, young people, who've been delivered from those spirits. And what I do notice is that the more involved and the more proper relationship that a family has in a natural sense, the less of an issue that is. All of these testimonies are from people coming from broken homes. Some of them were, many of them were abused. And of course, none of this is an overgeneralization, but I think that if we, as Christians, as men and women, were setting the right kind of example in our own families and doing the right thing, then we wouldn't be leaving this room. And so for the devil and for the enemy to come in. And so ultimately we can point as many fingers as we want, but the biggest one has to come back to us, in that if we're not following the biblical standard of morality, if we're, you know, messing around with things that we shouldn't be, then that gives license. It gives license to the enemy to come in. So,
amen.
That's why it's challenging.
That's right. That's why he says, give no position of opportunity, no topos, no position of opportunity to the devil. My phone's blowing up, guys trying to get in. Jared, I see some of them are starting to get in now.
I got it. It's my phone. Guys have,
that's all right. That's all right. Roger's all nervous. He can't get in. Roger, you can get in now. Try to join there. I always neglect to do this. If that ever happens to you, we have a call-in number that you can call and listen. At least if you can't get in the queue, you can listen. Jared, do you have that number handy? I'm sorry to do that. Yeah, I ought to be saying that more and more. 605-475-0047.
17.
17. 0017. So at least you get in, listen to it online if this happens. Because I'm going to be honest with you, this is probably going to happen more and more. Especially talking about this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And this goes to the heart of it, okay? Goes to the heart of it. And, you know, so we find ourselves having judgment begins first. Where? In the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something. We got to clean up those Christians around us. We got to get their minds right. And it won't be pretty. Jesus himself told us that your enemies will be those of your own household. You're living in a household. If you're living in a household where your children have a different view on homosexuality than you, there's a serious problem in your house. And it's like our own son. I'm not sharing any confidence in our own son. Our son's a graduate of law school. I have conversations with him sometime. I said, "What? How'd you get so stupid? What the heck? What happened to you? You used to be smart. Now you think foolish. Did they train you in law school to think like that? That's one of the most stupid things I've ever heard. I hear it regularly from educated people. Right? Where the hell did you learn that? Oh, I said that word. I'm sorry. Where did you look? Who told you that? And we don't see it. See, we don't see it. It's in the middle of our own churches. Blindness in the middle of our own churches. Oh, Lord. Anybody? Anybody want to jump in? Jump in here. What we got? Hey, we got a full house now.
We need to take a page out of the left's playbook and rebuke, make fun of it. Make fun of the evil. Say, that's so stupid. That's so dumb. You know, like, we have to... Ridicule it.
That's harsh, Jared. You're so harsh.
Yeah.
The truth is the truth, brother.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Jared, do you
do that, it's just like stepping on a cat's tail. They're going to turn around and they're going to attack you.
They are. What? Hey, Jared, you remember, Jared, when we were at the gay pride parade, that guy came up and called me an a-hole? Remember that, Jared? What was it I said to him? Because you probably know something about those, don't you? Remember that, Jared? Yeah, I said, not only you probably know something, you probably love those, don't you? Oh, my goodness. People listening right now are cringing. People listening right now are cringing.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Just regarding your comment about, you know, education and, you know, giving people foolish thoughts, I think it kind of, in my opinion, I've always looked at it like this. When you don't present the entirety of Scripture and you only present the love aspect of God,
yep.
the human mind, which is geared to find logical things. It is illogical to not have a God that is also a judge and a God that is also going to come in the end and punish evil. When you don't present that side, then all of a sudden the faith that we hold dear becomes illogical, and it's very easy for Satan and the workers of education to discredit it completely at that point. Because I think the human mind looks for logic, and I think there is logic in the entirety of Scripture, but when you only present some of it, it becomes illogical to people, and I think it's why they can be so easily swayed away from it.
Dylan, that's a good point, but it's almost like this. It's I call it arm's length theology. Actually, I just made that up. Arm's length theology. In other words, I want to accept and I want to be Christ-like and love and accept and tolerate the homosexual. Arm's length theology until they molest my kid. And then when they molest my kid, now it becomes real. And I think, how did I let that happen?
Because it's called vicarious theology, brother.
It's called what, Vinny?
Theology.
Vicarious theology.
Hey, Kurt.
Compassion. Yeah. You know, your compassion goes to the homeless until you have to take the homeless in your own place.
That's right, bud. That's right.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, in the enemy's camp, though, the truth cannot be told because it exposes their lie.
But George, here's the problem. The enemy's lies are being told in our camp. Do you guys understand what I just said? I don't care what they teach in the homo classes. I don't care about that. But when they come and they're teaching it to my kids, my grandkids, I'm supposed to love it and tolerate it, except we've lost our minds. We'll switch gears here unless somebody got something else they want to say about it.
Coach, to back up you said a while back is, or what Stephen Menking said, is we do need to fix ourselves, right? Examine your own heart, absolutely. But at the same time, go to the homo parade in June. You don't have to be perfect before you can rebuke evil, you know? You don't have to be sinless to rebuke evil. But no... Jesus' blood is what prevents you from being a hypocrite. So you go out and you say, "Yeah, I have the sin too." But you got to stop. You got to don't wait. Don't say I need to be perfect before I go and confront this, because you're never going to confront it.
So Jared, I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "He was without sin. Let him cast the first stone." Time out a minute. What did he mean by casting stone? What did that mean? Back in Jesus' day, what was the act of casting a stone?
Coach, that was...
Hang on a minute. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, the casting the first stone was the pronouncing the sentence part of judgment. It wasn't determining right or wrong part of judgment.
No, that's right.
Casting the first stone was taking the role of being the judge and executing the death penalty. When judging behavior is fine, that's, you're supposed to do that, but being the judge and pronouncing a death penalty, that's God's part, not ours. So that's what that was all about.
That's right, but now what they're telling us is for me to even criticize is casting a stone. Jesus was talking about killing somebody through a process of judgment, of stoning them to death. And there's a difference between casting a stone unto death to somebody and exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. Exposing the unfruitful works of darkness is not casting a stone.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
But they've taught us in the church that it is. He among you is without sin. Yeah. Let him cast the first stone.
No. Another lie from the pulpit.
Another lie.
Another lie.
I was talking with Pastor Bill last night, and a couple of things we were talking about, it was like with the kids, the young people, like you said, the millennials, and then look at the young kids now wanting to march on Washington, take away your gun rights. Pastor Bill made one statement real quickly. He said, they went the other way with a child shall lead. He said, that's exactly what we've done. Parents are letting the children lead.
Well, no, Jeff, not only that.
Amen.
Can you see they're having rallies now with kids begging for gun, taking away guns? Children, they're now putting our children out. Children, we have 19-year-old kids, 18-year-old kids giving advice to the government. It's craziness. We're crazy.
That's it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know what's ridiculous? You know, criminals don't obey laws. So, you know, they can write laws until the cows bloody come home. And the criminals don't care. That's why they're criminals. So why do you think any laws are ever going to make any difference? That's the whole point. The whole point of criminals is they don't obey laws. What's wrong with these people? It's like,
well, then,
let's say you're going to step in a turd, right? The only way to avoid the turd is to not step forward. They want to insist on stepping forward. You tell me how that makes any sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But see, the problem is we don't even, okay, Lord, we don't even cast pebbles in church. We could be sitting beside some guy. You could go to church and you could be sitting beside somebody right beside you who's shacking up, committing adultery. That person could be right beside you. You could be going to church with somebody who comes into that church under the presence of Almighty God and feels comfortable sitting in there after performing homosexual acts. You tell me there's not something wrong?
Amen. You got it. Dead on.
There's something wrong. There's no conviction of sin within the church anymore. There's tolerance. I'm okay. You're okay. You've sinned. I've sinned. I won't throw a stone at you. You don't throw a stone at me. We'll all just get along. And so as a result of that, there is no fear of God in the church. And because we've lost all fear of God in the church, there's no fear of God in the world. Our laments become worthless. Jared, pull up on the screen. I've been trying to get it up there for 2 days. Weapons of mass destruction. I want you guys to look at this. Maybe some of you saw it on my Facebook page. Back when you could get on it. Probably good. They wouldn't.
David Arthur is a good example of what you're talking about. If he was still practicing the old lifestyle, he'd be welcome with open arms in the church when he walks.
Bingo, JR. Bingo. But now that he wants to speak against it, they ain't letting him in. Is that your point, JR?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. There they are, boys. There's your weapons of mass destruction. Right there they are. How about banning guns? How about suction tubes? And the ripping forceps, whatever they call them. And the injection needle. And the breaking forceps. And then that little ripping thing that pulls a little bit. There's your weapons of mass destruction. Hey, JR, whoever. If I put that up on the screen in your local church, there'd be women running for the doors. We've made them comfortable in their sin.
Hey, Coach, can we get that shared out? Because I'll take that to every church in Brooklyn.
Yeah, share that out. Maybe I have to do it. However, Jared, I don't think we can put that. Probably can't put that in the. I'll send it to you. I'll send you a copy of it then.
Absolutely.
Huh? So you know, the laments against guns rings hollow to me. It rings hollow to me. When I see that, sorry. Violence in the womb, violence in the world. Nobody cares. Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Coach, can we go to Ezekiel 16?
Yes, please do. Ezekiel 16.
Yeah, while we're on the way to Ezekiel, just a comment on the political reality of today. Those who believe you might have need of guns in the future, because of the tactic that they have now taken, it is going to work. You better get your guns now and try to get them where nobody has a paper record. Flea markets are a good place because you can still buy one without having to have a paper trace to get it.
Yeah, it's coming for sure. Coming for sure. Just got an email also, Jared. Ezekiel. Well, okay, let's go to Ezekiel. What do you say first? 16. Let's go there first.
How about verse 48, Jared?
Go ahead and read that for us, Steve.
So the context here is that Ezekiel is
hang with us a second.
Is reproving Jerusalem for the sins. This is a heavy passage, but it contains a point here about the root of all of these things. And so if we don't deal with the spiritual root behind all of it, then we're going to be in trouble, both in ourselves and in our society. So for verse 48, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. So there are underlying things that have to take place in a culture and in a society before we enter the abomination stage. The pattern held in Rome, the pattern is holding now. And so if we don't address the pride, not saying that having bread and having things to eat is bad, but this is talking about abundance and affluence and idleness and then
selfishness. Selfishness, man. Mm-hmm. Abortion is selfishness. That's all it is.
So at the root of all of this is pride. And if we would humble ourselves before God and receive the grace and forgiveness and wisdom to repent, then we could receive the direction to be able to speak into people's lives, to be able to coordinate, because it feels like you said, Coach, it's an uphill battle. We've almost lost the fight, but praise God. Our Lord is a God of the impossible.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is above every name.
Amen.
And we need to understand the spiritual dynamics that get right to the root of it. It goes back.
Amen,
to
the, brother.
The original problem. Right.
We've lost the power of truth. That's what's happening. Roger. Okay. Roger's on the phone here. Jump in here real quick, Roger.
Oh, real quick. You know, I have had those debates within the family unit. Church-going family unit, Bible-believing family unit, and men need to get ready for what comes back at them, because it can be almost unbelievable. And these are people you love, seem to have all aspects of the Bible okay, but this one. I've had those discussions. It's sad, but you have to speak the truth to them to attempt to wake them up. One of the linchpins, I believe, of our society is marriage, man and woman. And when they destroy that, I don't know where God takes this nation. And if it's not been destroyed already. But boys, buckle up, because when you go in the household, it can be worse than out in public.
Hey, Roger, simple question to ask. Simple question to ask your friends. Do you believe the Bible? And, of course, they're all Bible believers, right?
Yeah.
Did the Lord call homosexuality an abomination?
I've talked and I've used that, and they all that stops everybody in their tracks. But then they go to some other craziness at times.
Yep.
And it's not a blatant thing. It's not, oh, they're born. It's never that in your face. It's some other weird, well, you know, I saw them when they were a little kid at five, or, you know, it's just hard to believe. I've never been confronted in the family unit in your face, but what is this watered down love, grace, instead of speaking the truth?
So if they saw it at the age of five, did they do anything at the age of five to intervene? If your child has a crooked spine, do you take him to the doctor?
Amen. Amen.
Oh my goodness.
You don't just it, but I've had it. I know it's late in the hour. Great program. This is the battleground, and I don't know how much longer, you know, it's going to remain where we can fight. It may be overwhelming, but it is a battleground of evil.
And then
just describe what they do. Then just describe it to the people, and then that shuts them up also.
There you go. You intolerant bigot, you. We'll see you, Raj. Thanks.
There's one tactic that I've had some measure of success with over the years, and I think Roger hit a button there. Try to establish that they at least profess to believe the Bible before you even talk to them. Now, a lot of them have selective belief, but once they say they believe the Bible, then I ask them, I says, well, do you think God is a just God? Is he doing justice? And they will say yes. And then you will say, well, what did Sodom and Gomorrah do to deserve their punishment that our country hasn't already officially put their stamp of approval on?
Amen. Amen. Raj is back in. Yeah, Raj? Roger, you there? Must have been a butt dial. Rich, Jared, real quick. Hang on, Jeff.
Hey.
It says here, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. It says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. Right there it is, Jared. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Amen. That's why Hillary's got to go to jail. Yeah, Jeff.
Hey, sometime today, pull up the little video last night of Benjamin Watson on a Raider or a Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it, but he actually explained to him live on TV last night the problem in the schools is he said, you're going to keep having the bloodshed. Until you bring Jesus back into these schools, you're not going to stop the bloodshed. And he just went on and on and on that we just want to use Jesus as that ATM in the sky. We only need him. We want him. Now we want to pray for all these kids in the school, but we not have Jesus in the school. It was good.
Amen.
Oh, I'm out of time. I got a thing on secular prayer here I was going to read. Go ahead, David.
You know what? If these parents don't start demanding that their children are not another sex, if these men, okay, just put it like this. If my mom wasn't adamant of that I was David and I wasn't Paige, I was her son and I wasn't her daughter, and if that correctional officer didn't tell me the truth and offend me and hurt my feelings, and if I didn't hit rock bottom and come barreling down to my knees, then I would have never made it out of the darkness, and I'd be in hell right now. I'd be suffering right now.
We'd be loving you all the way to hell, wouldn't we, brother?
That's what the church is doing. Just after the show Saturday that I had, the pastor actually brought a message about offending and talking about other people and how wrong it is, and then tried to tell me at lunch how behavior doesn't matter and it's okay if he believes that practicing homosexuals are going to go to heaven because they're saved. And I'm sick and tired of this bullcrap, the lies, the nonsense. It's a sin. We need to see it as the mental disorder, the destructive, disgusting, detestable behavior that it is, because it's sucking up your children and your grandchildren, and it's taking their lives with them.
Amen, David.
Amen, David.
Wow. It's so simple, isn't it? It's so simple.
Amen, David.
The church, Benjamin Watson, a football player, he'll talk about taking Christ back into the schools with your local pastor. Huh? Maybe I ought to go to the next school board meeting here in my local district and raise some cane with him. Maybe I need to say the truth to him.
All of us do.
We all do. We all do. We all do. Have nothing to do. Yes. Go ahead, Jeff.
I just want to tell David, I really enjoy listening to him. I was sharing with Pastor Bill the other day. Pastor Bill said, you know who the other speaker is going to be out in Wisconsin? And I said, yeah, David. So I said, you got to hear this guy. So Pastor Bill is looking forward to hearing him.
Good. Well, Pastor Bill's the guy that would let him be in the pulpit. But JR had the line of the day. We got to run. JR had the line of the day. If David was still a practicing homosexual, they would welcome him into the church with open arms. But he's an ex-homosexual who is now shining the light of Jesus into the darkness, and the church won't let him come in. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.